Just a little half block south of Burnside.
Fun thing to do.
And he's from Southeast Portland.
877-500-5266. Come on down. Meet the missus. You can have a cup of coffee. And 20 Southeast 8th is the place to do that. Become a member in person. But become a member right now. That is the main thing. 877-500-5266.
I'm looking at parafoggering through the porthole here at number 106, Studio 2 here at KBOO Portland. Okay, so this means you have a few seconds in which you can still call in. I do recommend that you get the hoodie, as I said, not just for yourself, but because we need the advertising, right? And if you've got a real job, you know what I mean, not a minimum wage job, probably you should do that $20 a month and get the hoodie. So come on and do it. 877-500-5266. I am Audi. Stay tuned for Pear. You'll be glad that you did. And thank you, Pledge Central. Stay tuned to KBOO. We go out to you via 90.7 FM on our terrestrial transmitter and via KBOO.FM to all the ships at sea.
Give to KBOO today during our end-of-year match. Starting November 1st and wrapping up December 31st, donations from all new and increasing members will be matched one-to-one up to $15,000 from the Collins Foundation and SSI Shredding Systems. Give an extra gift today or become a member, and your membership will be doubled to support independent community media and citizen journalism at KBOO. Thank you.
Okay, good morning. This is Fight the Empire, and one way you can fight the empire is to call KBOO and give us a little money to keep this show and all the other good shows on the air. There is an event going on downtown at noon. It's at Pioneer Courthouse Square, and it's kind of collectively closing our bank accounts for people who still have money, you know, have money in the bank. You can take it out. It has to do with, all the nasty stuff that banks do, besides being a waste of money. I think there'll be a march down to Wells Fargo or something. But anyway, Pioneer Courthouse Square at noon, there is a kind of closing our bank accounts day. I'll tell you, I haven't had a bank account for years and years and years. I've had a credit union. I'm very happy with it. Well, our guest today is Andrew Nikiforuk, who is a Canadian writer. He writes for a magazine out of Vancouver, BC, called The Tie, which is really an excellent magazine. I really recommend it. You can get on their email list, and you can read a lot of interesting stuff. You know, it is a Canadian magazine, but much of what they say kind of applies to everybody. So anyway, our guest is Andrew Nikiforuk, who writes for The Tie, also has written some wonderful books. One that comes to mind is The Energy of Slaves. So, Andrew Nikiforuk, welcome to KBOO.
My pleasure, Pear.
Well, let's get right in, because we have a shorter show this time, because we're in the middle of our, or near the end of our membership drive. But one of the articles you wrote is The End of Growth and the Rise of Trump. So let's go into that a little bit. How do they coincide?
Well, they coincide in many interesting ways. I guess first and foremost, I mean, the overriding economic fact of the day is economic stagnation and contraction. And most people are feeling that in lower wages. And so why is that? Why does it appear as though the age of growth has ended? And one of the reasons has to do with the quality of energy we are using. It is deteriorating. We really, for the last 100 years, North America ran on cheap oil, light oil, conventional oil. It was abundant. It generated amazing surpluses. You know, it took about one barrel of oil to find and produce 100 barrels of oil. That was all money in the bank. And oil has consistently been associated with GDP growth. In other words, the more oil an economy has been spending, you know, the larger economic growth it has been recording. But that's all changed in the last 10 or 15 years. As we've run out of the cheap stuff, oil has become this incredibly expensive and volatile commodity. Even with the relatively low prices right now, it's still oil is 40% more expensive than what it was in the 1990s. And that means it's making it more expensive for everyone else to do business. And but the big issue here is that we're relying more and more on really dirty, unconventional oil, whether it's fracked oil from North Dakota or bitumen from northern Canada. This oil costs 2 to 3 times more to extract, has a high carbon cost, high environmental costs, requires much more complex operations. And companies have borrowed like crazy to pursue these really rotten resources. And that's all become a huge drain on the economy, and is also responsible for this stagnation. There's a very famous an American economist by the name of Robert Gordon, who's written a really good book about the end of growth in the United States. And he's basically argues that, you know, we have peaked in so many different ways. I mean, the technologies and technological innovations that spurred so much growth combined with cheap energy, those ended in the 1990s, and now we're into a prolonged period of stagnation. And stagnation has more been the historic norm for the development of human during the course of human history than periods of endless growth. I mean, they're an anomaly, and they are anomalies created by cheap energy. And well, so the cheap energy age has ended.
Well, one fact that comes to my mind is back in 1859, the first commercial oil well in Pennsylvania, I believe they struck oil at 69 feet.
Yeah.
You know, and then,
yeah,
of course,
now we're drilling 2 miles below the ground.
Plus horizontally and fracking and everything else. Yeah. But, it's not just the money. Maybe you should talk about energy return on energy invested, because it's not so much money, it's the amount of energy you get for the energy you put in. And then when that ratio goes down, I imagine when that first oil well in Pennsylvania, the energy return was probably well over 100 times what you put in, but it's gone down steadily since then. So what happens when there's less energy available in the economy? This economy shrinks and leads to all sorts of things.
Well, let's start with an example from the animal world first, and then we'll go to oil to explain that this is a really important concept. That basically, it's all about diminishing returns and what happens to biological species when they are facing diminishing energy returns. So a good example would be, let's say, a polar bear in the Arctic, highly dependent on seals in the ocean, and those seals can be found, you know, near ice flows, right? And so it's fairly easy for a polar bear to kill these seals and accumulate all the energy it needs to, you know, have a pretty easy and comfortable winter. So what happens when those seals start to disappear, as they are now with climate change, and the ice is disappearing and it's harder for the bears to find food, and they have to expend more and more energy to chase that food? Well, the polar bears are now reaching a point where they're expending more energy than they're getting back in from food sources. And so now, they have to go after berries, they have to go over small mammals, they have to go after bird eggs. That requires more travel, more energy expenditure, and as a result, the bears are losing weight, getting emaciated, and in many cases are dying or cannibalizing other bears. So civilizations reach this same point, too, when their energy sources begin to diminish. And we use energy, of course, to really fuel more complexity. And so when the energy begins to shrink, we can no longer manage this complexity and civilizations fall apart. Well, oil has worked the same way. Oil had fantastic energy returns. One barrel of oil, as I mentioned before, could garner for exploration could get you back about another 100 barrels in terms of find and production. Today, globally, one barrel of oil will get you 17, if you're lucky. So the returns there are really diminishing. And when you look at unconventional resources, such as bitumen, I mean, one barrel of oil or oil equivalent is being spent to retrieve on the order of three or two or one barrels. That is not sustainable. That when you reach that point, civilization will start to unravel and contract because there's not enough surplus being generated by the energy for us to have comfortable fat lives like those polar bears that used to dine on rich populations of seals.
Mm-hmm. Well, I suppose
that's a big issue for mm-hmm. North America at this point in time. Not just North America, but you know, the whole world is dealing with issue and doesn't want to talk about it.
Well, it gives new meaning to the term bearish on the economy, I suppose.
Yes.
Well, you know, at the same time, this is something I just read recently, that the United States now has 536 billionaires.
Well,
amazing. The economy is tanking, but at the same time, you've got this rise in billionaires. It certainly has all kinds of social effects. You know, a lot of resentment and everything else, which contributed to Donald Trump's fake victory, because he actually didn't get the most votes, but he won the election.
And he won that election largely on the rage of a lot of angry working class voters throughout the United States who are experiencing lower wages, who are living in communities where there has been dramatic, in many cases, economic contraction, and who are lashing out and hoping, perhaps unwisely, that a billionaire is going to save them. I mean, when economies begin to contract like this and shrink, it's still easy for a few people to make enormous amounts of money, while the rest of us find our wages and our economic lives dramatically shrinking and changing in many ways. And I think this is exactly what's happening in the United States. I know it's happening here in Canada. I travel to the United States often, and I can see the effects of this contraction. And what we're seeing in response is this amazing political volatility, not just in the United States, but in Europe, in Asia, and elsewhere, where the experts are completely being confounded by the results of elections as people get a little more desperate and extreme in their choices.
Well, you may
the status quo is not working for them. It's not, and we all know the status quo is not working for any of us. Mm-hmm.
Well, in one of your articles, you have a very nice quote: "Diminishing returns do not bring out the best in people."
No, I mean, it's one thing to live in an age where the economy is expanding and there is an enormous amount of surplus energy around to help build government services, social services, arts community, all that sort of stuff. It's another thing to live in an age where that capital begins to shrink, debt begins to increase, the rich get richer and hoard their capital, and while the wages for the rest of us become a source of diminishing concern. That's a much more volatile environment. It's actually a revolutionary environment.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this North Dakota pipeline. You know, it seems to me there's this danger of it becoming what they call a stranded asset, because it's supposedly, moving all this oil out of the Bakken fracking fields, which are the return there is diminishing all the time. And so, you might get in a situation where I read recently where the Alaska pipeline is shut down because there's not enough oil flowing through the pipes to keep it running.
That's absolutely true for Alaska. So what you're seeing there is really the rapid decline of conventional oil again. What you're seeing in North Dakota is, through all kinds of technology, massive expenditures of capital and companies going in increasingly into huge amounts of debt to extract tight oil from, you know, using the technology of fracking. But that's all a treadmill, and it requires so much violence and so much energy to extract this stuff. And it, you know, the source of it depletes so rapidly that you can't really depend on tight oil for a long period of time. As one analyst recently described it. I mean, this kind of technology. Cracking source rocks is like taking a backhoe into a grocery store to go shopping. It works, but it's not going to work for long.
Leaves a big mess behind, that's for sure.
Yeah, and so the opposition to the Dakota Pipeline. I mean, one of the problems with fracked oil is that it's expensive to frack. It's expensive to get out of the ground, and then it's expensive to transport. And so it's a little cheaper to transport it by pipeline than it is by rail. So, companies are hoping to save a few dollars there so they can keep their debt levels a little bit lower. But I think here the environmentalists and First Nations and Aboriginal groups have correctly recognized that in the long term, the pipeline doesn't make a lot of sense and will be empty. Within 10 years, because there really isn't enough fracked oil in North Dakota to keep that pipeline employed for very long. Yeah. So why build it and put waterways at risk? That's the big issue, particularly in a world where if we want to do something about climate change and its highly disruptive impact on our economies and our political systems, then we have to live differently. And living differently actually means consuming less fossil fuels.
Mm-hmm. Well, I read an article recently by Winona LaDuc, and she says that the pipeline company in North Dakota, they're facing a January 1st deadline, which accounts for the rush to complete this line, because after January 1st, all the companies that have kind of bought into this pipeline, they now have the chance to back out of it. So this pipeline company is really, I guess, getting desperate. They're not gonna meet that January 1st deadline anyway. But they're trying to, and of course they might have all sorts of debts to pay. So, what happens? What is the effect on the economy? This toxic debt load. What does that do to an economy? I mean, does one bankruptcy follow another? How does this happen?
Well, it's extremely toxic over a long period of time, and it invites just more volatility. North American citizens, by and large, are massively in debt. They continue to borrow more and more, and one of the reasons is because their wages are stagnant. All right, so and every day they're being told they need to consume more if they want to live happier lives, and yet no one is free if they are in debt. No economy is free if it is in debt. No corporation is free if it is heavily indebted. No ecosystem is working properly if it has an enormous amount of debt of any form. And so what the debt is telling us is that, our energy is becoming more expensive, that we can't afford to use as much of it. Its emissions have become an enormous burden and threat to the atmosphere, and has caused this enormous energy imbalance, which is threatening everything that civilization has built in the last 150 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that we really need to be at a sustainable retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to go in a much different direction than we're heading. We need to accept the fact that growth has ended, and that's all right. And living in a society that is not endlessly growing might actually be pleasant. Instead of quantity of things, we might begin to talk about quality of things. Instead of talking about speed, we might actually slow down and actually engage with our neighbors and enjoy life again. I mean, there are enormous benefits to slowing down and actually becoming human again, and questioning that some of the technologies and the highly complicated systems that we have invested in to keep a system going that is no longer serving the interests of ordinary people.
Well, a listener called in with a question, asked, what about increased coal shipping in Canada? Can you tell us anything about that?
Well, you know, Canada is a mining republic, always has been, and we heavily export our all kinds of resources, from raw logs to coal. And now we're committed to exporting more and more bitumen abroad. So Canada is also going in the wrong direction here.
Well, if we're entering a period, kind of a no growth or slow growth economy, what would some of the effects be? I mean, I guess one of the effects would be the rise of sort of demagogues like Donald Trump, but it doesn't look very promising, does it?
No, I think what we will see is we're going to see more political volatility. We're going to see greater polarization of political camps. We're going to see political parties becoming less and less effective because they have not been responsive at all to the changes that have taken place and that have undermined so many different communities. We'll probably see the growth of more radical political movements of every stripe. We're going to see large and big government institutions having less and less authority to deal with problems. We're going to see our legal system, which is already in trouble, sort of going further and further away from what most people would consider to be justice. In other words, they're basically managing, in many cases, corporate fraud or permitting white-collar crime, as opposed to being fair and impartial and living up to the true goals of due process.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't look good, does it?
In short, we're going to see a lot of things coming apart. At the same time, we're also going to see a lot of communities responding to these changes by saying, okay, well, if we can't trust government and we can't trust the government, but we can trust our community, let's focus on our community and let's make changes in our community that make us more resilient.
Well,
let's make sure that we have good sources of food, that we have reliable sources of water, that we have honest people in municipal government, that we know and have good relationships with our neighbors so that we can rely on them in terms of emergency.
Well, you know, that's what KABU is all about. We are kind of a do-it-yourself radio station, and we are in a membership drive, so I wish we could go on. We have to cut this interview a little bit short to give a little message to our listener members. So I want to really thank you very much, Andrew Nikiforuk, a writer for Tai Magazine in Vancouver, B.C., and the author of The Energy of Slaves. And I really recommend go to the Tyee, T-Y-E-E. It's an interesting magazine, and sign up to get on their mailing list, and you can read some really interesting articles. So, Andrew Nikiforuk, thank you very much for being with us.
Well, my pleasure, and all the best to KABU and KABU listeners.
Okay. Well, now we go out to Membership Central. How are we doing out there?
Things are going great. We are here in the last day of our 3-day membership drive. We are asking you to become a KBOO member this morning. My name is Ani. I'm here with Ken and with Pear, and Teresa has just been on. And it is a wonderful Thursday morning here on KBOO. And I know that listeners to KBOO value Thursday mornings because, well, with Teresa and with Pear, there's all of the analysis, there's the deeper issues. And then moving into the rest of the Thursday morning, we get into, Air Cascadia and Flashpoints. And then we get into literary arts and feeding the brain in different ways. And that is because we understand, we learn, and we grow, and we bond through different types of information, right? We inform and we edify each other and we educate each other. And you are a part of that process as our grassroots support. So please, as a consumer, as a person who relies on independent media to make sure that you are getting your unfiltered access to truth and diverse opinions and information that is beyond the fetters of the corporate filters, please give us a call right now and become a sustaining member of KBOO this morning. You can do that with just $10 a month. And when you do $10 a month, you can ask for this wonderful limited edition KBOO shirt, the Higher Being shirt. It's really kind of a fantastic white design on a black t-shirt. And it can be yours for $10 a month when you call 877-500-5266. And then, you know, if you are a new member, your money will be matched by the SSI Shredding Systems and the Collins Foundation. If you are a member who has been around for a little bit and you want to bump it up and just increase, maybe give an additional one-time gift of whatever amount you choose, that amount would also be matched by SSI Shredding and by the Collins Foundation. So right now is your time to shine. Please, 877-500-5266.
I have to say, KBOO is a sustainable operation.
Unlike big oil.
And it's only sustainable when you sustain it.
Indeed.
So that's what we are. That's what we're asking you folks out there to do. If you like this programming, if you like the voices you hear on KBOO, which you don't hear on many other stations, give us a call at 877-500-5266. Do it now.
Online, it's also kboo.fm. We've got folks to thank. I want to thank Patra for increasing her membership. Thank you, Patra, in Southeast Portland. I want to thank Christine in Northeast Portland and Anna in North Portland. Rainer in North Portland, thank you so much. Dana in Southeast. Ali, who has returned after being a member for a while. Ali has come back to us. Thank you so much, Ali. And Linda, renewing in Portland. Janice in Southwest Portland, thank you all so very much for continuing your support or increasing your support to KBOO this morning. You are the reason we exist, right? You are the listeners. You are the grassroots supporters. We are the community radio station, and together we create programming that can change the world and nothing less. 877-500-5266.
And I was listening earlier to Teresa's Press Watch show. It was very heartening and very encouraging. I was telling Ani I'd given to the recount effort when it was announced last week, a little before Thanksgiving. And I posted it on Facebook. They made that very easy. I get a comment from somebody, "What will this accomplish?" And that's something that Teresa's show addressed very well. She had two guests, Greg Palast, of course, and then Steven Rosenfeld. Greg Palast said, just a few thousand vote difference in Wisconsin and Michigan would overturn the election results. So it's not as easy as you're hearing in the mainstream media now that this will have no effect and it's just kind of an exercise. It actually will have an effect. Steve Rosenfeld, who's also studying the election and helping in the recount effort, mentioned it's uncharted territory, just as Gore versus Bush in the year 2000. So you're going to hear stuff like this. It's not exactly a golden age of journalism all over the U.S. and all over the world, but this is kind of the last outpost here of independent media. You're going to hear Amy Goodman. You're going to hear voices like Greg Palast, Steven Rosenfeld, Pear, and Teresa. So give us a call now to keep this going, 877-500-5266. And as Ani mentioned, we have the matching fund in effect for new members. And if you're currently a member and you increased your gift, say you're giving $10 a month and you increase that to $5 a month, that $5 will be matched. So KBOO was getting a little extra thanks to the generosity of the Collins Foundation and SSI Shredding.
Absolutely. And that is a wonderful thing. We put your money to good use. You can ask, well, you can stop by 20 Southeast 8th here, right between Burnside and Ankeny on beautiful scenic Southeast 8th Avenue. And you can check out KABU. You can see how your money is put to work. You can see the equipment that it buys. You can meet the volunteers that keep the signal flowing to your ears and create these programs that you have come to rely on to make sure that you stay informed and connected to your community so that you can take right action. And really, again, together we change the world. Action is the antidote to despair, my friends. And it's time for you to take the action right now. Become a new member of KABU. Help us meet this amazing challenge to raise $15,000 in new money right now with your support, increasing your membership, or becoming a new member of KABU right now. 877-500-5266 is the number to call when you go ahead and decide how much it is you can contribute to KABU to keep us strong together, how you can participate in community radio, in independent media. Be a grassroots supporter, $10 a month. Go ahead, take the plunge. Give us $10 a month, and together we change the world. 877-500-5266.
And thank you so much, Ani and Ken. We'll get back to Pitch Central in a few minutes. Coming up next, Chris Andre with Air Cascadia right here on KBOO Portland.
KABU would like to thank our community partners that donated food for our volunteers today. Lunch was provided by Suni Thai and Lao Kitchen, 1400 Southeast Stark Street. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week, up to 9:30 p.m. Sunday through Thursday, and up to 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Dinner was provided by Kim Jong Grillin, a Korean barbecue truck and cart on Southeast Division and 46th. Open Monday to Saturday, noon till 8 p.m., and Sunday, noon to 6 p.m.